You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hey, Chris, what are you drinking there?
Oh, you never seen one of these before?
No, what is that?
Oh, man, this is a brewery in Austin, Circle Brewing. They're right near my house, right up on Breaker Road. They got their own brewery with a bunch of stuff. This is actually, you're gonna think I'm lying. This is, I think, the best American Hefeweizen I've ever had, Circle
Get
Brewer.
Out.
It's made in America. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. That's high praise coming from you.
We'll take a sip of this thing. Try that.
All right, let me see.
No. That wasn't the Hefeweizen. That was the IPA.
Yeah, no, that was fantastic.
The Ladybird. Yeah, that's good, too. Man, they make a lot of good beers. And like I said, you can come visit them at their tap room right down the street here from me on Breaker Lane. It's delicious stuff, and they actually became the sponsor for the website, oneofus.net.
Wow, good guys, and they live right down the street from here?
They certainly do, and you can even get their beer in convenience stores now.
Ah, convenience store. I'm going to just walk over to Circle.
Previously, on the final days of Gotham.
Gosh dang you, Nick. Gosh dang you, Nick. You know how to call these things too well.
I told you guys, ever since I came out of that Lazarus pit, I've been given a gift.
Are you sure it wasn't just electricity to the throat?
It seems to solve a lot of problems. I have some back issues because someone just electrocuted me. Because Edward Nick is at this point borderline immortal because he's been stabbed, shot, frozen multiple times. Now electrocuted in the fucking head, like short of him being on fire.
And I love how immediately he starts talking like Tom Hardy's Bane, just like, Jim Gordon!
Dude, I laughed my goddamn ass off. I had to look up Bane quotes like from Tom Hardy.
Also, Jim... What the fuck, man?
No protection.
Did you not have a condom? Yeah. What's happening
it's
here?
It's Gotham.
What latex is very useful in the post-apocalypse, Nick.
Yeah, resources are scarce, Nick. There's no food, there's no water, there's no condoms.
Jeez, rejigger some of the leather you're using for your outfits.
Don't worry,
God damn.
Some of the drinking water for protection.
Well... So, as Alan was saying in the first time we were introducing this, if only they had just waited a little bit longer to say, hey, the military's going to reunify everything, what could possibly go wrong in the span of 45 minutes in a given show of Gotham?
In Gotham, give it
Cut
5 seconds.
Right?
He literally gets a call 2 seconds later, yo, some weird shit's going down. It's like, 5 minutes, that's all I ask. 5 minutes in the city.
I did find it odd that the general was like, yes, we'll be sending relief as long as nothing goes wrong in the next 42 minutes and commercials.
Which is very specific.
I know, right?
Yeah, it was really oddly specific.
I was going to say, basically, this episode starts with, again, Ace Chemicals with a bunch of basically fireworks going off as a bunch of dudes tried to run off, and that's basically what starts the whole, well, batshit was always happening in Gotham, because when we see what the aftermath of whatever this gas is, for some reason these people have legions and all sorts of like bullshit all over their body, which starts off the first plot line, which is, again, I hope nothing bad happens in the next 45 minutes while we follow Gordon and what they're doing.
Yeah, so as usual, I'm Justin Zarian, your host for the show and the creator. We over here, we have Alan. How are you doing?
Good.
You had to think about that for a second.
You don't sound sure, Alan. Are you sure?
I'm perfectly fine, Alan.
Are you alright? Yes. Are you being held hostage?
Do we need to call 911, Alan? We need to know.
If I start rhyming, then you know.
And then over here, we got Nick and Travis as usual. How you doing?
Well, this is Nick the Merc with the mic. Hey, guys, how's it going? This is absolutely the first time we ever introduced this. We didn't fuck this up at all. What does it mean, play me off? What's up, Travis?
No, I'm not even here anymore.
Travis is not here anymore. He will not be joining us.
I refuse to be acknowledged.
He will be sitting here, but he will be very quiet in protest.
Yeah. So now we're going to try to be as brief as possible because Oscars are about to start. And I know I'm the only one who's going to be watching it out of us, but dang it, I'm still going to watch them, dang it. But anyway, so yes.
I am so going to enjoy Justin trying to get us on track for this.
I'm going to try, because the person who directed this episode, his name is John Stevens, and he really hasn't done a whole lot of directing. He's very new to the game, but he did direct at least 3 other episodes of Gotham, including one of them, which was the... what was it? One of the seasons with one of the episodes with Poison Ivy in season 4. Like, you know, one of the big ones when she's starting her attack.
Oh, yeah, the witch.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
No, not that one. Not the witch one. No. But yeah, so it's like, okay, he's a competent enough director from the couple episodes he's done already. But enough of that. As Alan said, we started off with this whole thing where you know, a mysterious figure, I'll let you take a guess who it is in just a second, but is attacking random people in Gotham where he's gassed them with this thing that gives them, like, super seizure symptoms and that kind of stuff, and, you know, kills him on the spot, pretty much.
Killer moth.
Exactly. How'd you guess?
Nick, don't be stupid. You know it's calendar,
oh,
man.
I wish. Yeah.
Like, Condiment King.
Dude, if it was... I'm actually kind of disappointed if Calendar Man doesn't show up.
Yeah, probably not. So, yeah, no, as we also saying, too, it's like, so the government finally says, okay, so apparently, you know, what's her name? Walker is a rogue agent. So they're like, oh, no, we could have unified a long time ago. It was Walker who was keeping us from being connected. So as long as nothing bad happens, everything's good, we can start reunification immediately. And then sure enough, they get the report. Oh, yeah, by the way, four people who got murdered who have, like, Z's drawn on their chest, or no, carved into their chests. And I love how they treat it as if it's just a regular crime investigation sequence. It's like, oh yeah, did we forget that the city's under siege from mob violence? And it's like, no, we just have a regular police investigation like we used to.
It's been pretty quiet.
Well, I kind of
I swear to God, I saw police caution tape around the thing.
Yeah!
What are they doing?
Dude, no, you were right. It was there.
Who are they warding off?
It's been quiet the last
couple
days.
Well, I kind of do want Gordon, too, to go to the military guys. So, like, if nothing was going to go wrong, we wouldn't need your help, dumbass.
If everything was okay...
Yeah, so that happens, and they're like, oh, it must be Zaz, because Z's aren't carving their chest. But it's like, no, that doesn't fit his M.O. And all of us who've seen how good...
Well, the Z's might do it, but the fake mustaches scream to me, Tetch. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm so mad when Tetch gets brought up.
Yeah, so, okay, a lot of stuff happens. There's the fallout from the previous episode where Barbara's like, well, I'm pregnant now, so I want Lee to take care of me, because I gotta rub it in her face as much as possible, which... Whew, that was uncomfortable to watch for a lot of it.
She is being such a complete bitch about this.
Yeah.
Like, this episode in particular...
Does that really surprise anyone, though?
Yeah, this episode in particular, she's acting very, like, out of character. Well, okay, it's not out of character for old Barbara, but for how she was up to this point this season, this is very out of character for her, it feels like.
Wait, you mean the murderous psychopath is going out of her way to be kind of a bitch to everyone around her? Wow, this is so out of character.
I'm just saying, in terms of season five...
Also, like, we're But she's supposed to be kind of nicer now. We're supposed to kind of like her or turn on her character. And yet it's like, oh, well, I'm going to have the baby, but that's all you contributed is your contribution is done after our liaison. And you don't have to be, you're not involved in this at all afterwards. I'm like, why even tell him right in front of Lee then and be the worst person
because
about
Barbara's
this?
I know, right?
To be a bitch.
She's a crazy person.
I did like when she asked Jim later what do you think I can't be a good mother? What, do you think I don't have it in me to be a good mother? And Jim was like, take a guess. And I was just like, damn, that was cold.
I feel like
but maybe don't say that out loud.
I feel like last few episodes, Jim has been the audience where he's like, he's finally catching up to how crazy his city is kind of thing. Just like, oh yeah, I am living in Gotham, you know?
Right. He directed an episode. He's like, oh, God, this is what I've been missing.
Yeah, more or less. But so, yeah, that's been happening. And, of course, Barbara is part of her ultimate scheme where she's like, well, hey, I'm going to team up with Selina eventually. And we're going to, you know, the plan is to get rid of Penguin, leave Jim, raise the baby. You know, we'll leave Gotham and be on our own, you know, get an adventure going kind of thing. And, you know, that only goes so far because the other main plot starts to kick in where, you know, dun-dun-dun, Joker is starting to surface again. Or at least, you know, this version of the Joker, as it is. Which, you notice how they've really tried hard to kind of, like, subtly shift him away from the last season, where it's like, he's not just the I-don't-smile-anymore Joker kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, they've pretty much completely changed him now to where he's the obsessive, you know, instead of being obsessive about Batman, it's specifically Bruce Wayne now. Mm-hmm. And I gotta tell you, before I wasn't really crazy about Jeremiah in the previous season. Pretty much turned around on it. I love this psycho stalker ex-girlfriend Joker. Like,
no, seriously, this
is really doing it.
This
for me.
Whole time, it felt like the Telltale Games Joker. You know, like where he's got that weird manic obsessive behavior, where it's like, oh, you know, Bruce has got to be my friend. I really want to be my friend. Kind of thing.
I love when Bruce asks him later, is like, so why did you make people look like my parents and then hypnotize them? Isn't it obvious? And I was like, no. It's not. You're going to have to walk me through this, guy.
Yeah.
It is not obvious.
Because the ultimate thing is that.
And then what does he say? Like, he says, like, this was your most important day of your life, and I wasn't part of it. And he says it in a. I don't want to say rapey, But
definitely, I need an adulty.
Yeah, I in a very much where Bruce is like, I need an adult.
Yeah, because he
I am an adult. No, you are not.
Yeah, because he kidnapped Alfred. He found two people, which kind of confirming our suspicions and theories that he just found two people and did extensive plastic surgery to make them look like, you know, the original parents. Which, of course, it's the same actors from the original.
Yeah, in the middle of the apocalypse.
Yeah, but apparently it's the original actors who played the parents in all the other seasons. So it's like, okay, well, there you go. But because it would have been actually more interesting if they did have those surgical scars on them, just like even more creepy and disturbing. But
yeah.
So they're in the mansion because Bruce figured out it's like, oh, I got to go back and look into this because he finds that whole wall full of newspaper clippings of the day his parents died while he's looking for Alfred. And how Alfred's been hypnotized because apparently that's just a thing you
can. We're not supposed to be questioning a lot of Jeremiah's plans here. But
we're about to.
Wait, does he have a printing press or does he have all these old copies of this newspaper? Also, is it next to his stained glass window making factory? What is
that's
happening?
That's the part that got you?
In his section of
the
Gotham.
The part that got me was, I'm glad Bruce was just walking down this fucking street and just happened to get hit by this newspaper, because if that didn't happen, he'd never figure it out. Like, the...
Is it, oh, no, Jeremiah was actually sitting in the background throwing them with a fan.
Are they in a fan?
That would
make
way more sense.
Is there a bunch of alleyways like this around Gotham that are leading towards it? Like,
probably.
Or is it just this one alleyway? I don't know. I feel like I have a lot of logistical questions about this plan, and
I'm glad it worked out, because this would have been really awkward if he's just sitting there going, come on, man, how did he not find the newspaper? They're all over the city.
Yeah. No, so that was happening, and he's like, oh, I'm going to recreate your last dinner you had with your parents. I'm going to recreate the final movies that you guys watched together. I'm going to recreate all this stuff. Also, don't try to wake up Alfred from his hypnosis, because we're going to blow up this whole house if you do. Which doesn't really matter, because guess what happens at the end of that little bit? Because he blows up the entire Wayne Manor, which you're like, wow, well, that was a definitive answer to that question. So,
well, again, I think what they want to do is, I'm not sure, have they established a Batcave yet?
Yeah, well, technically...
Yeah, the Batcave's a thing, but they never fucking use it.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking is why they blew up the mansion, is because then either the next, at some point in the next couple of episodes, they're gonna now, it's like, okay, now we're using the Batcave. They're probably going to call it the Batcave or some shit. Like, I think that's why they blew it the fuck up in the most cartoony fashion possible.
Well, here's part of the problem, too, is that they have never established Bruce's connection with bats. So how are they going to establish that he becomes Batman if you never actually see him have anything involving bats in his backstory?
And because that's what Christopher Nolan immediately got. Like, he combined the original story of him running away from the theater... Which, by the way, this is something I actually really appreciate this episode, is they didn't feel the need to modernize it and change the fucking movie. Like, no, we're going back to the original Zorro, because that's the freaking origin story for Batman.
I loved that.
We're in the alternate religious pseudo-Amish version of Gotham, in which they only allow certain levels of entertainment and technology.
Hey, it works with the series, and it also goes back to the original. I will always appreciate a mythos that tries to do it and doesn't feel the need
to
modernize
it. I couldn't believe I didn't figure it out until they showed the movie later. I was like, oh, of course, the Mask of Zorro.
The Mark of Zorro.
In the original comics, that's the movie that he watches. That's the inspiration he gets. And like, I did not put it together until they until the movie fired up.
Because I'm a humongous Zorro fan. So when I saw that, I'm just like, oh, that's so awesome. They brought in Zorro. But so that all happens. And meanwhile, Jim is also investigating this because they find a connection with the murders. I forget how exactly he got to the point where he gets Lee because one of the gang members killed belonged to a gang that was operating around that same area, apparently. And they find out because...
Yeah, in the Narrows.
Yeah,
because they find out because he brings Lee along just like, okay, I need you to help me navigate through the Narrows, is that they kidnapped a bunch of the other gang members and hypnotized them to work at the Ace Chemicals factory. Dun, dun, dun. Just like the name of this episode. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they have that weird thing where he starts interacting with them, and they have that crazy rhyme of, like, oh, no, if we, you know, we stop, don't keep working, we're gonna die, or whatever that thing was.
Please don't let it be Chet. Please don't let it be Chet. The second he's talking.
TikTok.
Yep, and then
Tech. Hey, Alan, I think you and Travis are gonna be, bonding over your mutual hatred of Jervis Tech.
Oh, yeah, he was, like, he's actually the worst thing about Gotham.
Thank you.
Hates him.
He is actually just the worst thing.
I will say that he's...
God, it's like the Joker, but more annoying.
Yeah, he's more effective now that he's a sub-villain, like a tertiary villain, because it's like, yeah, when he was the headline villain in season 3, he was really like, okay, we need this to be done. But at least last season and this season, he's been a little more effective as a threat, you know?
I hate him when he speaks.
I like him more the less I see him. You are right.
I feel like without his facial hair, he looks a little bit more like a lizard.
He's OP. That actor needs to be nerfed. He is too powerful. He is literally the most powerful villain in this entire series.
No, that is a good point.
He can anyone to do anything he wants at any point.
Yeah. He can literally do whatever he wants in the show. And sure enough, after they subdue Gordon and Lee because freaking Harley Not Quinn comes in and knocks him with a baseball bat on rollerblades. But yeah, they as hypnotize them. Oh, sorry?
No, I was gonna say, as you do in Gotham.
Yeah, you know, that's any given Sunday in Gotham. Anyways, yeah, it all leads up to eventually Jeremiah luring Bruce to the Ace Chemical Factory because it's nearby where the street where his parents were killed, and he wants to recreate the moment of their murder by being the one himself who kills them. But in a twist of fate, we realize, oh, no, he's not going to kill those two random people that he programmed because that would just be too easy, I guess.
Yeah, they're already dead, apparently.
He killed them. We just didn't see it.
Yeah, if it doesn't happen on screen, it doesn't count. But no,
that doesn't matter.
No, he said they're
dead. He literally said I shot him in the head.
No, I know he did. That's the thing where it's like, yeah, but in a twist, they reveal, dun-dun-dun, it's Jim and Lee, because they're apparently the only father figures or parental figures they could have murdered instead of, oh, I don't know, Alfred, you know?
Alfred, no, because the thing is, Alfred was the butler. Alfred had to be there. He's not the father figure, he's just the person helping. So they want to get Jim, because Jim is his father figure, and then Lee, because they've been together, and they've worked together to be the mother figure. Like, that works out really, really well.
I loved that moment where Bruce is like, oh, you're going to think you're going to recreate the moment because you're going to kill people that look like my parents? That is not a thing, man. It's not going to work. Mm-hmm. And then so he reveals Jim and Lee, and he's like, damn it, that might do it.
Yeah, that'll work. That'll do it.
Shit.
Yeah, so they had to find a way to trigger them. So there's the whole thing where when they cut the pearls, it'll deactivate their hypnosis right at the moment he shoots them in the head. God. But yeah, I don't know how that works. But of course,
Chech, done anything else and maybe have it not break? Why would you do something so easily able to be broken?
So that way, it's very Joker thing of like, I have it to where the hypnosis will break once the pearls fall. I don't know how he knows that the pearls are super important to Batman's backstory. Like, I don't know.
He's watched a lot of Batman movies, and he knows that the pearls are like the dramatic moment.
The whole thing, the whole time this episode, I realized, wait a minute, Joker wants to recreate the 1989 Batman movie. Everything he's doing is setting up for that scenario of the 1989 movie.
That makes sense for Gotham.
Hey, Bruce, you ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
I'm surprised he didn't say that. That's the one thing that was missing.
That would be hilarious if he fucking said
that. Want to get nuts, Jack?
At least
let's get nuts.
No, just say, do you want to dance? That's enough for me.
Yeah, that would have been great.
Don't even continue it.
Yeah, so of course, last minute before that happens, guess who comes in to help save the day? It's Selina. Because in the usual push-me-pull-you relationship of, I hate you, but I love you, but I hate you, but I love you with Batman and her, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, this actually did have a little bit of character growth for her, too, because she kept going on about how it's like, I stood there and did nothing because I wasn't a good person. She's like, well, now I'm going to.
I love this, actually, as unsubtle and on the nose as
it is.
It's
Gotham.
Because it's Gotham, and they don't know what subtlety is. It's great because it gives both Bruce and Selina a chance to work together and thwart that night that is big. That's a big rift between them now of, like, neither of them being able to save his parents. So, like, they kind of almost work through it. Like, it's very therapeutic.
It's couples counseling.
Yeah.
Gotham style.
Yeah, that would involve guns, murder, an alleyway. Yeah, that sounds like Gotham couples therapy.
Yeah.
I thought it was actually a pretty good point for both of their character arcs to come to fruition. I liked it.
If it was a way for them to reconcile.
That's something I actually really, really enjoyed is the reason Selina even shows up in the alleyway is because, like Gotham, because it never wants to do anything, simply. There's three plot lines in this episode. There's the whatever Jim Gordon's doing. There's the Bruce and Jeremiah. But then there's also the Penguin and Selina, where they're trying, like, Penguin and Selina are trying to get out of the city. And she's like, oh, I know of a tunnel. When she goes to the tunnel, she immediately meets up with Alfred, who's telling her all the bullshit that's happening. And it started clicking, like, wow, you managed to do three different plot lines in this episode that all converged into the alleyway.
No, that's why I didn't really distinguish.
Hey, there we go. I started clapping.
Yeah, I didn't distinguish the three plot lines at the beginning of the episode because I'm like, they're all pretty closely tied together for once this season, you know?
They all pretty much end up in the same place. And I did like it when Alfred comes out and is, like, explaining what the hell is happening. And Selina doesn't even hesitate. She goes and helps out Bruce.
Yeah.
Like, she drops everything that she's like, oh, shit, I gotta go. I really thought that was a really cool moment for her. Like, her initial instinct is now different than it was the first time, which was she wasn't in self-preservation mode. She was, I need to help my friend. Like, yeah. I thought it was a really good moment for her and her character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it made her, like,
and
you know,
the actress sold it, too.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's weird where, like, the actress can really be inconsistent, where sometimes she's effective for what she has to do, and sometimes she's just not really selling it at all. But, yeah, I kind of liked her more this episode, in the long run. But, yeah, so that all happens, and, of course, it leads to, you know, because they managed to break the spell in time to save Jim and Lee. But, unfortunately, while Bruce is pursuing the Ace Chemical plant, you know, what's up with the Riddler, there's also Harley Quinn, who sets a truck in motion to explode a bunch of fireworks that will release gas all over the freaking city. Which, wow, these elaborate plans.
And from what it looked like in the Ace Chemicals plants, it looks like the mutagen from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon.
It's the ooze.
Hey, though, they are canon, because they're doing
So next episode,
movie.
I'm thinking we're going to run into Bebop and Rocksteady.
Possibly.
But that's just my theory.
No, dude, the mutant gang was pretty much Bebop and Rocksteady, because the guy looks like one of them.
He did look like Bebop.
Yeah. Yeah, so that happened.
So Jim stops that fucking... Jim stops that giant truck by driving it into the river and killing all the marine life in Gotham River.
No, he makes them into mutant turtles. We just went over this. Come on.
That's the part that kind of made me just like, look, I get that. Everywhere. I get that Jim pretty much had no options at that point, but then he drives it directly into the water source, and it's like, what is it with Jim sabotaging water, using all the drinking water to put out the fires, contaminating all the drinking water in the river as well? It's like,
yeah, he is bad with water. He hates water.
I think he's Bruce Willis from Unbreakable.
I love this. He's an M. Night Shyamalan hero or whatever.
Jesus like, Christ, how do we weakness. Bring this back?
Also, I love the fact that this episode ends with the Gotham River getting poisoned. So classic Batman of Joker poisoning the reservoir or whatever.
Poison like, the water hole.
Yes. He
is, that,
like,
is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. That's always a, like, that was one of his first early comics with a Joker fish.
Oh, yeah.
Poisoning. Yeah, and... That was kind of a joke amongst, you know, villains of like, oh, what is your villain doing, poisoning the water reserve or something? It was kind of like a poke at Joker's earlier schemes of like not really making any sense.
Well, because also he did that in the he did that in the animated series too. So yeah.
Yes, in the animated series there was the Joker fish. They always like to do that storyline because it's one of the more popular ones, the Joker fish stuff. So I hope that at next episode they show some of the fish in the thing having Joker smiles on their face.
That
they're all poisoned.
Awesome.
That would be funny.
Fuck.
That would be great.
That'd
I'd love that.
That'd be also dumb.
Yes, it would. No, but so that happens, and then you know, Bruce and Joker have their big final fight, or at least for now kind of thing, where they fight each other. And of course, in traditional Joker fashion, one of them has to end up into the giant vat of chemicals, and Joker falls in after trying to stab Bruce. So, which...
I don't know who the effects department is on the vat there, but that looked like boiling acid.
I do love his final lines of like yelling at Bruce, like, "Why won't you let me in? Why won't you love me?"
Pretty much.
Maybe I just heard that.
No, that was pretty much.
No,
said.
I'm pretty sure that was there.
I also love that we see him later of like the doctors say that he's in a coma. There's no brain activity, and I'm like, I'm sorry, aren't we in the middle of like a war zone and we're wasting resources on this obvious psychopath keeping him alive?
Yeah,
I didn't even think about that. I was like,
triage, dude. Like, I don't think we need this guy.
Nah, my thought was no brain
all
activity.
All I'm saying is, for one of the doctors, it's not going to be a big deal if you say, oops, his plug came unloose. Oh,
we had a power surge. We couldn't make it in time.
Oh,
no.
What a tragedy.
Man, he'll be up by next episode. It's Gotham.
Yeah. So that's been going on, and, you know, Bruce and Selina reconcile over that. And then Jim and Lee seem to reconcile, because after a bit of a tense argument with each other, they have a bit of a smooching session, too. So it's like, so Jim is playing around with two ladies again.
She slaps him first.
Yeah, well, yeah, because...
I love... Justin, when you said Jim was the audience before, I have no felt that more in this scene here, because Lee keeps going back and forth on what she's talking, like, her lines of dialogue are just confusing, where Jim's like, you broke my trust, it's like, well, I'm sorry, and then it's like, wait, what does that mean for us, and like, Lee just keeps going back, and I really was with Jim's like, wait, what does that mean? Are we breaking up? Were we together to begin with to break up? Are we getting back together? What is happening? And then, like, she slaps him and then kisses him, so I'm like, okay, I guess we're together? Yeah. I'm still kind of confused on it.
Yeah, I kind of like, you know, Avatar Jim. He's a little bit more likable now because of that, so... No, so that's been going
on. He's just sick of the Gotham shit.
I don't blame him. But yeah, so that's going on. And then there's the one other plot thread detail that ties into the very end of the episode because, whew, this is a doozy.
Oh, God, I hated this fucking sequence.
So Ed and Enigma seem to – Penguin and Enigma seem to have kind of like had a bit of a truce with a reconciliation of their own kind of thing where it's like, okay, now we need a plot of how to get out of here. And, of course, Barbara Richards tries to kill Penguin until they convince her otherwise somehow. Just, oh, and I love it, too, that Riddler's like, oh, you're pregnant. And it's like, how did you guess that?
Look at him, and there's no, like, you think of, like, you're waiting for the huge Riddler-like explanation of him telling the signs. He's like, no, she's glowing. That's it.
Can't you tell? And Penguin's like,
no.
What?
What?
Yeah, that was a little underwhelming.
And then I love the fact that, like, her baby is, like, I like the fact that her baby is psychically controlling her or something and making her a better person against her will.
Because it's, oh, like, that's the part that pissed me the fuck off.
It's,
I will
it's
kill
half
you
Jim Gordon.
For my child.
It's, like, it's half Jim Gordon's spirit.
Stupid parents.
Like, it's like, no, you are now morally correct. You have the son of the scion inside you, so you can't take immoral action.
Oh boy, yeah. So that happens where she decides not to kill Penguin. Yeah, she doesn't want to kill Penguin, but it's like, okay, so how do we get off this island? And it turns out that the ultimate plan they have to get off Gotham is to build a submarine.
Yeah, because fuck it.
Just,
I love that when they bring out the schematics and Riddler's like, okay, so where's the submarine? And Riddler's like, we're going to have to build it. Okay, I'm going to shoot you in the face now. No, wait.
Well, just...
And I was like, guys, I don't know if the timetable you guys think you have, but you can't build a submarine in like a week.
Well, especially since that technology probably does not exist in Gotham.
Well, because, I mean, we do know from the Flash...
I thought there was just a...
I mean, we know from the flash forward that they'll be there for another, like, 9 months for when Barbara is pregnant, I guess, you know, with the whole term of that. But just that idea, mm-hmm. It's like, so, okay, I get it because they were testing out the waters, and there's apparently, because the government laid out mines in the entirety of the river for some apparent reason. But, yeah, so they're like, oh,
that
well.
That threw me the fuck off on that one.
Yeah, so
This water in Gotham was never like, it's always hostile. It's either poisoned or filled with mines.
Yeah, so ultimately they decide, well, the best way to get around it is to go under the mines. And I'm just like,
that's not how that water
works. All right, Gotham, whatever.
That's not how water works. That's not how submarines
work. No, they were going to avoid them from the sonar. They were going to build into the submarine.
Yeah.
Like the sonar was going to detect the mines and get them away around it.
Sir, because you can build a submarine just like... I don't know. Do they know how to build a submarine? Do they know people who can build submarines in that city? I don't think you can just find submarine
technicians. Ed is the smartest person in existence. Ed is the smartest person in existence. I think he'll be able to work his way around a submarine.
I guess.
Maybe you can get some of those workers in the Narrows, not that they're not working for Tetch anymore.
I guess
so. Lucius.
They finished building it. Oh yeah, Lucius too. Don't forget the smartest people in Gotham working together.
Which also, so did Tetch just F off and disappear just out of nowhere or something? Or
yes.
Pretty sure he disappeared. I do not know where he ended up.
The show.
Harley Quinn was on the truck and got and disappeared after that.
Yeah. So basically,
I'm not sure exactly where like everyone.
So yeah, the only one who got captured was Jeremiah, and he's like pretty much clinically dead at this point, except for a little brain activity, like barely any brain activity. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry. Poison Ivy's gonna show up at the scene, and he'll unlock his darker parts. The darker parts of Jeremiah.
If he's already pure evil, what other dark parts are left to unlock?
I don't fucking know.
It'll drive him sane.
That would be hilarious.
Wouldn't that be great?
It turns good people evil, but and evil people good. Like...
And neutral people just gives them a pep boost, just a little bit of energy.
I guess so.
You're just doing whatever you're currently doing, just more of it.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all I got to say. I mean, was there any other leftover notes that you guys wanted to talk about outside of the general gist of the plot?
One last thing, and as much as I enjoyed this episode, because I think this is one of the best episodes of the season, because they managed to focus and actually have a coherent plot, they have to end it in the most sitcom-y way possible, where the freaking Penguin's like, oh, who's the lucky father? I was like, what the fuck is this?
Shut your whore mouth, Alan. You shut your mouth.
No, that was some
Penguin
bullshit.
Was awesome in this episode.
No. I love the five lines of dialogue he had.
I loved it when he's with Alfred in the tunnel, and he's like, "Hey, thanks. I guess I should thank you for saving my life. Well, you could help me to Haven. Oh, absolutely. It's that way. See ya." And takes off.
Fucking little douche.
It's like, yeah.
Every line he had was a punchline. Oh, hey, that guy's gonna make it on shore. Boom.
No, I loved Penguin in this episode. I loved it. And I would say, just in a writing aspect, this was probably one of the best episodes Gotham has had this season, and probably in one of the better episodes in the series, in my opinion. I liked how everything really worked together. I was legitimately surprised during some parts of it. Like, it moved at a really good clip. Even the Bruce and Selina stuff was good. Yeah. It was firing on all cylinders, that's for sure.
Like, the only downside is Jervis Touch showed up. Otherwise, it'd be a perfect episode.
You're goddamn right. That's the only bad part of this episode. But he shows up so little that I'm like, you know, I forgot he's in the episode until we brought it up.
I know, I barely remembered that either. So I'm just like, okay, good. They used him just enough. Although, again, they have to take him out at some point. He's way too powerful for this show. But yeah, so
yeah.
Isn't he the character the Mad Hatter? So doesn't he actually just stick around a lot?
Yeah. I mean, I would assume
he's like herpes. He just won't go away. Seriously. But anyway, yeah. So next week's episode, we got the thing. It's called Nothing Shocking, which it says Bullock's past comes to haunt him when he and Gord investigate two murders at Sirens, which. Again, why are they they're investigating murders in the middle of this war zone? Just
that sounds like a previous season episode.
Right?
I don't know,
that
like,
sounds like a filler episode.
Like his past comes to haunt him. Like, guys, we're dealing with a little more than Harvey Bullock's past right
Which
now.
Which also to be interesting. I forgot that. Like, I'm saying that Harvey barely showed up this episode too. So it's like at least he'll get something to do. You know.
Was he in this episode?
I think he was
no,
only
he
in the
wasn't really much in this one.
Yeah, I think he was only in the beginning when they investigated the bodies, and that's it. Like, literally, he just barely showed up.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. No, so there we go. That's that. And thank you all, everyone, so much for listening. It's a little bit shorter because, as right now, the Oscars are just about to start in a few minutes. So before we go, Alan, tell people where they can find you on the internet.
Okay, so if you go to Facebook and type in Midnight Chat Attack, one word, into there, you will see Nord's logo. Once you go there, there's embedded links to all sorts of places where you find me incoherently babbling about all sorts of things. On our Twitch, you just go to The Chat Attack. You'll be able to find, again, you'll be able to find me there where I work with a bunch of other people that are basically, like, y'all trying to keep me in line while I coherently babble, but be sure to check me out there.
Yeah, no, and we actually had Alan on a couple of other stuff recently, including an episode of Breakfast Pub, which he was on, which is pretty cool. So, awesomeness.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, and then Nick and Travis, where can they find you?
Oh, well, you know, they can find me TikToking over on Nick Tice, T-H-Y-E-S, over on Twitter and Facebook. Or you can always, you know, look for our other podcasting projects, including Unapologetic Geek Out, or the UGO podcast, as well as Netflix and Kill, our killer movie review podcast, and Stand Against Evil podcast, Pod Against Evil, all available on iTunes and Stitcher, and wherever you can find podcasts. And Travis, you cannot find it all because he has been hypnotized off of Facebook and social media.
And if you find me, I probably will explode.
Yep. It's a lemon meringue pie, Travis. It's fine. It's okay.
Oh, yeah. Lemon meringue pie. I love lemon meringue pie. Yep. So thank you guys for listening. And it was a nice short episode this week. So tune in for what will probably be an hour-long episode next week. So see ya.
2 hours. Make up for it.
We didn't even get to the Immaculate Conception.